In my library, I have a book by James Smith, who's a Scottish man. It's called The Voyage and Shipwreck of St. Paul the Apostle, written in 1848. It is the most detailed study of Acts 27 anywhere in the world except for the Word of God. And if you ever want to pick up something and become a student, a deeper student, it's not to be read like you read a novel. You have to open it up, open up your Bibles, and study right along. It's in-depth, it's tedious, but oh, does it yield a treasure. This morning, as we look at this great chapter, my question to you is this. Are you in a storm? I pray that you're not. But if you are in a storm, you have two choices, and only two choices. You're either going to fall apart in the storm, or you're going to take heart in the storm. Amen? That's the only way. And let's learn how we can do that. But let's go through all of our narrative first, and then we'll make an application toward the end. Beginning in verse 1. And when it was decided that we, that's Luke now that's talking, he's the writing it, it says that we should sail to Italy. They're going to Rome. They delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Ostrogothan regiment. Now, that word some other in the Greek means a different kind than the Apostle Paul. So a lot of the people, 276 to be exact, that were on this ship, not only were they just the sailors, but they were prisoners that were going to be not stand trial as Paul was, but to be executed by Rome. So this is the people that are on the board here. And it says, and so entering a ship of Adiaturum, we put to sea. Now, that's a seaport there in Mysia, meaning, and we were to sail along the coast of Asia, and Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, he was with us. The next day, we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly, gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. So now we're on our way to Rome. And this first ship that they're on, Paul's allowed liberty. Somehow Julius, the centurion, they got along very well. He trusted him or whatnot. Maybe Paul even led him to the Lord, which I believe he did. And he allowed him to go and visit some friends, Christian believers, of course, that are anonymous. We don't know who they were, but they were helping to provide for his needs, no doubt, because of the long journey that lay ahead. Now, it says, and when we had put to sea, it says, from there we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. So there was, now they're hitting the strong headwinds. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Cilicia, Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found an Alexandrian ship, Alexandrian meaning it was sailing from Egypt here, sailing to Italy. And he put us on board. So again, this ship is huge that they're getting on right now. It carries over 276 people, as we'll learn in a little while. But it's also a cargo ship carrying a vast amount, tons of wheat. And it says, and when we'd sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Sindus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Solomon, and passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lycia. Now, when much time had been spent, in other words, waiting for the changing of the winds, and sailing was now what? Dangerous. It was a bad time for any ship to be on the water, and the reason was because of the time. It says, because the fast was already over. The fast meaning the Day of Atonement, which was like the end of September, mid-October. Every sailor knew to stay off the waters in that area at that time. Matter of fact, they were so bad during that time that they stay off them even till February, and then you could start sailing again. So they're already in a dangerous time on dangerous waters. And it says, and Paul advised them. I love Paul. Look what he said. He said, I perceive. That word perceive means I perceive from past experience. I know what I'm talking about. I perceive that this voyage will end with, number one, disaster. Number two, much loss, not only of the cargo, not only of the ship, but also our lives. Paul said to all the men, everyone, he said, fellows, listen to me. This is a death ship. We are not going to make it. We're going to have a shipwreck. We're going to lose all of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion, the Roman centurion, the guard, was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. Let me ask you a question. If you were going to trust someone, I would certainly trust the Apostle Paul. Amen? Here is a man that had been shipwrecked at least three times and survived. Hello, Paul, I'm sticking as close to you as I can. You're my life preserver. You say move to the left, I'm going to move to the left. But what they were saying, the experts, if you will, they were saying, what in the world does a little short Jewish preacher know anything about navigation? Well, what they didn't realize that Paul had already navigated on the seas for over 3,000 miles. He was a very, very experienced traveler. He knew, but he was also being led by the Spirit of God. Now, Paul says this is a death ship. Boy, I'll tell you, it's so easy to get into a storm today. People are so persuaded, like these were persuaded by the pilot of the ship, the owner of the ship, and so forth. In other words, if anyone knew about being on the sea and sailing a ship, surely it was the pilot. Amen? Of course it was. So, but you know what? In a few minutes, as we're going to learn, every person on that ship was going to regret not listening to the one voice that tried to save them. If you're going through a storm, beware of the experts. Beware of expert advice. It doesn't mean that we're not to we're to discern whether it's good or bad, amen? But you know what? Expert advice can get you in trouble. We have a lot of experts in Washington right now, don't we? Have they gotten us in trouble? Do they know what they're doing? Are they operating with the wisdom of God or the wisdom of this world? No, I mean, listen, we have a president that just said, you know what? You need to create a new bathroom. There's a problem here, folks. You know, the Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And here we are, this expert advice and so forth. And look at what happens at verse 12. And because the harbor now was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and they said, we can winter there. So they said, the place that we're at, guys, it's just not suitable. I don't know, it didn't have maybe the Hilton Hotel or something, you understand, you know? And they said, we better get to the big city where there's a lot of food, a lot of hotels, a lot of things going on, and so forth. So Paul was in a storm, not because of what he has done. Paul now is getting ready to go into a storm, and sometimes we do because of the majority. It's, what did it say there? The majority advised. In other words, they're saying, let's go to Phoenix. Phoenix is only 40 miles away. Surely, I mean, at 40 miles, it's just not going to kill us. We can certainly get there. You know, beware of expert advice. Beware of the majority, especially if you're in a storm. In other words, how about Joshua and Caleb? They're in the wilderness, getting ready to cross over into the land of Canaan. They came back. Caleb came back and just said, man, listen, these guys are bread for us. We can take them. And the other spies, what did they say? Oh, listen, we're just little tiny grasshoppers. We're just a bunch of insects. These guys are giants and so forth. They have fortified cities and they're walled cities, and there's no way we can do it. And the majority started weeping and so forth. And then what did Caleb say? He said, they're bread. These guys, we're going to eat them alive. And what did the majority do? The majority picked up stones to stone them, to kill them. Did they go into the promised land? No, we watched the first generation of the children of Israel for 40 years. They wandered in the promised land, the longest funeral march in history. They died one after another until they were all gone. See, the majority... Beware of the majority. Man, there's something about listening to the Holy Spirit of God, especially in a storm. You know, we look out here today at the majority. Do you think the Word of God is being challenged today? The majority of people in America, whether they call themselves Christian or not, God's Word is being usurped. God's Word, the authority of God's Word, is not only being challenged, it's being removed. You know, the majority of the world would tell you Christianity is just a little bit too narrow, man. I mean, you know, I mean, that's the only way. There's not another way. I mean, give me a break. This is the 21st century. We're educated. We're smart. What did Jesus say? He said in Matthew 7:13, he says, enter, that's the Lord calling right now. to confirm, okay? He says, enter by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many, the majority, many who go in there by it. And then Jesus says, oh, but the narrow way, the narrow gate is difficult, is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Well, there's a lot of people, the majority, they're on the road that leads to destruction today. It's very broad. You can believe anything. Any belief system will do. Any creed, just do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. No, Jesus said, no, that's the broad way. You see, the majority is going that way, but there's a few in our nation, a few in the world. They're embracing our Lord Jesus Christ, and they're on the narrow way, and they're following him. Amen? And that's what we want to do, especially in a storm. Boy, we need to be wise. We don't want to fall apart in a storm. We want to take part in the storm. Now, look at verse 13, and look what happens now. And when the south wind, what? Blew softly. Here it comes. Supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. If there's one thing we need to be aware of is a soft blowing wind when we're expecting something, when we need to make a way out of the storm. In other words, these people here, they were saying, look, I mean, the conditions are ideal now. The weather is on our side for a change. Beware of ideal conditions, because the fact of the matter is they may not be ideal. And the open door that you see before you, especially if you're in a storm, may not be the door that God is opening for you. You have to be patient to know which one to go through. Amen? So here we see this as well. You know what? The weather's on our side. Put that sail, lift it up. Lift that anchor and let's get out of here. You know, making decisions based on what you see, can that get you in trouble? Oh, my goodness. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it says, we walk by faith, not by sight, not what we see. I was talking to a person the other day, and they said, man, Bill, I believe we're in the right church. I said, well, why do you think you're in the right church? And they said, well, our other pastor, he is so old. And this new young pastor, I was trying to hide my gray. He says, this new young pastor, he seems to be so up with the times. And I said, why is that? He said, it's just, you know, those skinny tight jeans and all those things that they wear today. I said, well, I'm going to JCPenney. Then I'm going to do a little frosty up here, you know. You better beware of what we see. Because, you know, you think, well, there's my escape from the storm. And the conditions are now ideal. Have you ever flown through a storm? Oh, man. You know, when you're, you know, like if you're flying in a commercial airliner, you know, you want them to fly around the storm. Amen? Man, I was in a storm way back in the 60s at Atlanta. And there we were in that plane. And I mean, it was bad. And it was night. And as it lightninged, and we were circling like this, all just kept circling. And I did not realize that wings could go like this. They do. They have back then, it had to have a 7 feet up and down wingspan so they wouldn't pop off. And I'm going, oh, man. And every time it lightning, I'd look out the window, and then I'd see planes below me circling. I'm serious. This is a good story, isn't it? You see, if you're in a storm, you just want out of it. I'll tell you what, everyone on that plane, they were praying. We wanted to get down. And you know what happens when you go through a storm, loved one? See, you go through and you hit the outer edges of the storm, let's say if you're flying. And if you couldn't go around it, now you have to go through it. And so once you go through the outer area of the storm, then you hit what's called the center. And all of a sudden, there's a peace about it. In other words, the turbulence has stopped and the waitresses, their fear has left their face, you know, and everybody's have as many beers as they can. And, you know, there's everybody singing, hey, you know, it's going to work, you know. And then because you're in the middle of the storm, you think it's okay. Ideal conditions. But then you still have to go through the outer edge. Do you follow what I'm saying? And then it starts all over again. The best thing to do in a storm is keep going right through it. Because see, the devil wants you to back off and stay right in the center, but he wants you to stay right in the storm the whole time. Listen, we want to take heart. We don't want to fall apart in a storm. And we're all going to have them in our lives. And look what happened now with these ideal conditions. Here they are. The wind is blowing softly. They think they got it going for them. Great. They put out the sea. But not long after, a tempestuous, or literally, we get our English word, a typhoon headwind arose called Yurlokan or Alabama or something. I don't know what it is. But I know what it means. It means a northeaster. You got a typhoon, man, that's going on. And when the ship was caught in it and could not head into the wind, look what they did. They let her drive. They let her drift, if you will. And boy, she ran, the wind and the typhoon drove her 23 long miles. How would you like to be on that Carnival Cruise Line, huh? I mean, think about that. Have you ever been tossed to and fro? Does it make you feel good? No, this is real. This really happened. And there they are, and they drift. Look how far this out-of-control ship goes. It says, and running under the shelter of an island called Claudette. That was 23 miles from that first location. It says, and running under the shelter, that we secured the skiff with difficulty. Now, the skiffs are the lifeboats. The lifeboats were behind the main ship, and probably now they're full of water, so they're trying to pull up on the ship as well. And it says, and when they'd taken them on board, the lifeboats, look what they did. They used cables to undergird or literally brace the ship, fearing lest they should run aground on the Cyprus sands. Now, that's a graveyard, if you will, for ships still today. And it's off the north coast of Africa. And look what they did. They struck sail and were driven. That means they lowered the mainsail. They let down the anchor because they were trying to at least maybe slow themselves down. And they slow down the drag, if you will. Now, and here they go, this horrible weather. You know, can you imagine being in that ship, being tossed like that? And there they are, they're outside, the sailors, and they're either running cable, some type of chain perhaps, some type of heavy, heavy rope. How they do it, I don't know. And they put around the boat, and they try to, and what they're doing is cinching the whole boat together. They don't want the boat to come to pieces. Does that make sense? They're trying to save their lives. And because we were, here it is, exceedingly tempest-tossed. The next day, they lightened the ship. In other words, they're throwing cargo overboard. Look what they did on the third day. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard. We did so with our own hands, meaning all of the equipment and all of the furniture. They got rid as much as they could. And now when we neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat upon us. In other words, it was horrible. Look at their emotional state. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Can you imagine being on a ship like that, tossed to and fro day after day after day? Do you think people were kind of upchucking? You know what I'm trying to say? You think they were seasick? Oh, listen, that's 24/7. It didn't end. You didn't see the stars. You did not see the moon. You didn't see the sun. You're in a constant day after day, a horrible hurricane, if you will, and no way to even know what direction they're going in. And you know what? In a storm, if you're in one, I know personally, just like you do, that it can become so bad that you're no longer determined. Well, I don't know what direction to go in anymore. It's blowing me, the circumstances are blowing me this direction. They're blowing me in that direction. I don't know. I've lost my compass. I don't know which way I need to go. Loved one, listen to me. Don't fall apart in the storm. You take heart. Amen? Amen. Now let's go and look at this now. Here they are, it says in verse 21. But after a long abstinence from food, in other words, no one can eat on a ship when it's doing that. Amen? Well, my brother probably could, if you knew my brother. He could eat anywhere. Nothing bothered that guy. But anyway, then Paul stood up in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me, you bunch of morons. No, you should have listened to me. You should have not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. Now, Paul wasn't saying, I'm telling you so, or, you know, I told you what was going to happen. He could have done it, but he's really encouraging them. Now, why? Now I urge you to what? Don't fall apart, men. Don't fall apart. I want you to take courage. I want you to take heart. Why? For there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe that maybe those 276 people wanted to punch him? Do you understand? You think they went, oh, thank you, Paul. Now everything's going to be, oh, there goes another person overboard or whatever. You know what I mean. No, he says, you take heart now. The only thing that's going to be lost is the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong, whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. In other words, Nero, you have to hear the gospel. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Granted you, Paul. That means Paul had been praying for everyone on board. And he says, therefore, take heart, men, and the reason for I believe God, that it will be just as it was told me. You know, to tell them, say, everyone on board, now listen, we're getting ready to have a shipwreck, but we're all going to survive. We're going to lose everything, but we're going to survive. You know, even in our life, you know, God doesn't promise smooth sailing every day, does he? But he does promise us safe passage. You know, and if say, well, Bill, it ended in death, then it was time for us to go home. You know, take heart. There we are in the middle of a raging sea. No one knows their direction. No one knows what's going on. You have hopeless, desperate men. They've all given up, and God sends an angel to Paul. Isn't that like God? In other words, it's like God saying, okay, here's the exact longitude, you know, and latitude, and said, show up and talk to my servant down there. You know, God knows where you are every moment. He knows the location of your storm. He's not oblivious to it. He knows, he sees, he cares. And so Paul says, don't give up. You know, and if you're in a storm, why don't you look at it this way? Like Paul, you're a candidate for a divine visitation from God. Amen? You say, well, Bill, that was Paul. Well, God is no respecter of persons. God loves you just as much as he loves the Apostle Paul. Amen? Now, look at verse 26. Bear with me as I do some lengthy reading here. However, we must run aground on a certain island. And now, when the 14th night, that's two long weeks, had come, we were driven, they're still being driven, loved one, 2 weeks, we were driven up and down the Adriatic Sea. That's the central Mediterranean. They were 500 miles off course already. And about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms, or 120 feet. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again, found it to be 90 feet. And then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. So you see, the people on the ship still were walking in unbelief, but Paul wasn't. Did you notice that Paul is now in charge? In other words, he's not Paul the prisoner. He is Paul the captain. And he said, and then the soldiers, they cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day. You've waited, continued without food. You've eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival. And look at this word. Since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. What a word. And when he had said these things, he took bread, gave thanks, and I love this. He gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat, and then they were all encouraged. They all took food themselves, and in all there were 276 persons on the ship. And so when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, and they threw out the wheat into the sea. So they're going to unload as much as possible. They want the ship to be as light as possible. They don't want it to, in other words, hit a reef or something. They want it to be as high up in the water as they can get it. And when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed the bay with the beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible, and they let go the anchors and let them fall into the sea. Meanwhile, losing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore, but striking a place where the two seas met, for they ran the ship aground. The prow struck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was broken up by the violence of the waves, and the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, commanded that those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on boards. Did you see that? Some on boards. You know, I heard Greg Laurie a long time ago. I was at a conference. He was talking about this, and he said, did you catch that? Some on boards. You know, that's where surfing first happened. Only a person from California would say that. You know what I mean? And he says, some on boards, some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they, how many? They all escaped safely to land, just as God promised. One verse in Acts 28. And now when they escaped, they found out that the island was called Malta. So here they are, 60 miles south of Sicily. Now, thank you for allowing me to read that lengthy text that we have. To me, it was very important. You know, I want to make a personal application for us all. Are you in a storm? You may say no. Well, let me give you some assurance. Brace yourself. You will be in a storm in your life. Do you understand? It's going to happen and so forth. You know, you have two choices in a storm. You're either going to fall apart or you're going to take heart. You're either going to ride it out or you're going to bail out. And you can take heart in any storm. Listen to me. No matter what you are facing, no matter what you are going through, if you will only put into practice and believe in your heart the things that I'm about to share, not my truths, but God's truth, you can survive any storm. It doesn't mean it'll be painless. It doesn't mean you'll enjoy it, but it does mean that you will survive. Amen? Now, I want you to look back as we make application to verse 22. And now Paul says, I urge you to not fall apart. Don't fall apart. I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life, only the ship. And the reason, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, whom I what? I belong and whom I serve. How important are those things? Now listen, are you a child of God? Are you born from above? Well, if you are, listen to me. The first thing you can take heart is about this, is that you are never alone. God is with you. Jesus is on board. If you're in a storm, if whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through in this life, he will always stand between you and the storm. Now listen, that doesn't mean that you're not going to feel the pain. It doesn't mean that you're not going to see the things floating away, the damages that come into your life. Like our loved ones, many Christians down there who now watch their homes being washed away. But was God with them, the believers? Absolutely. See, you can stand strong in the storm because you know who is with you and who's standing with you. You know, you might see the loss, or you might say you lose your job. Boy, that's a storm. Or you might be at the doctor's office and after the testing and you get that bad report. We've all been there. We've all done that. But the good news is, you are never, ever alone. Never. God is with you. Jesus is with you. Amen? When Paul was discouraged, when he had been beaten to pieces, remember, and there in the city of Corinth, and he was discouraged, what did Jesus do for Paul? It says in Acts 18:11, Jesus shows up and says to Paul, he says, for I am with you. Jesus saying, Paul, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. You don't have anything to worry about, Paul. I am with you right now. Yes, you've gone through some bad times, but I'm still with you. I'm with you no matter what you're going to face. And he said, and no one will attack you. No one will hurt you. In other words, I'll protect you, for I have many people in this city. Listen, the same Jesus that was with Paul is the same Jesus that is with us. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 28:20? Lo, I am with you unless you're in a storm. Lo, I don't like water. I don't like hurricanes. I'm afraid of lightning. No. He said, lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Are you in a storm? You don't have to fall apart. You can take heart because Jesus said, I'm with you all the time. Every moment, even till when? Till the very end of what we call time. He said, I'm with you. That's a certainty. That's a promise. We have Emmanuel. We have God with us. Amen? See, we can survive. We're going to survive no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, no matter how much it hurts us. We can survive because we know who is with us. You know, I've quoted this scripture, read this scripture to you, I know, a thousand times over the last 20-some-odd years at this chapel and this church, and I've always told you, I said, sometimes I go to this verse nearly every day in my office. But it bears reading to you again from Hebrews 13:5 in the Amplified Version. Let me do this. It says, for God himself has said, are you in a storm? I want you to listen to what God says now. I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Then three times the word of God in the Greek goes, I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless. I will never forsake you. I will never let you down. I will never relax my hold upon you, assuredly not, so that we can take comfort. We can be encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear. I will not dread. I will not be terrified. What can man do to me? What can storms do to you? Storms, listen, a storm is a storm. They come and they go. That's life, amen? It's just life. Romans 8:38, listen, he said, I'm persuaded of what? Nothing is, peril, nakedness, sword, whatever, nothing. Hunger, pain, death, life. Created things, tribulation, persecution. Storms, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. We are totally and completely inseparable. Loved one, listen, the Bible is so clear. It says in Psalm 34:19, many, not few, many are the afflictions of the righteous, listen carefully, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Not from them all. Sometimes we are in the lion's den. Sometimes we have to go into the burning furnace. Sometimes it looks like everything we have in our life is leaving us. God says, no, listen. Your trial, your storm is not going to work against you. It's going to work for you. Amen? Because Jesus is with us in that. Now, listen, that's the story of life. Storms ahead, shipwrecks ahead, and so forth. We don't have to fall apart. We can take courage. We don't have to bail out. We can certainly ride out whatever we're facing. The second reason that we can take heart in the storm is because it says, you belong to God. You belong to God. You don't belong to this world. You don't belong to the wicked one. You don't belong to the angels. You belong to our Father, which art in heaven. Amen? Think about that. Here you are in a storm, and you belong to God. He's with you right there. He's not going to leave you alone. And you know what storms do? Storms try to hide the presence of God from you. No, keep your eyes not on the storm. You keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's how we make it. We belong to God. We're the sheep of his pasture. We have the great shepherd. He's with us right now. Sheep need a shepherd. They're unruly. You get them, but if you don't have steel waters to go across, you know what? You'll go across troubled waters and you'll be washed downstream. You need the shepherd to constantly lead us beside steel waters, to lead us into green pastures, to constantly be restoring us. Amen? Do you believe that? I do. No. Listen, the Bible tells us we belong to God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? Here it is. And you are not your own, for you're bought at a price, meaning the blood of Jesus, his death. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. The reason? They belong to God. Listen, we were chosen. We've been adopted. We cry out, Abba, Father. His spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we're sons of God, daughters of God. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're co-heirs with Christ, citizens of heaven. You know what? When I get in a problem, a storm, why don't you just do this? You know, and God, say, Lord, your property is in trouble. Amen. Lord, here I am. I belong to you. Where are you? I'm right beside you, Bill. Don't be faithless. Be faithful. I'm right here. You belong to me. I'm not going to relax my hold upon you. I'm not going to cast you aside. I'm going to get you through it. All the way through it, Bill. All the way through it, church. You're going to make it. But then we come to the third one, and that is one that is so important. Paul said, to whom I belong and to whom I serve. I cannot tell you how important the third principle is for you to take heart. And I believe every believer must ask themselves this question. Are you on duty for the Lord? Are you serving the Lord? Well, I tell you, time is short and the work is great. Amen. It's all going to be gone before you know it. It really is. Life goes by so quickly. I mean, it was just the other day. I mean, here I am, 45. It was just the other day. I felt like I was, 21. You know what I'm saying? But you still feel the same. You have more aches and pains, maybe. But the truth is, up here, you think, I'm still the same. But you're not. But you think you are. I picked up a 100-pound bag of concrete the other day. It took me 2 days to straighten back up. Yes. And that, I'm telling you the truth, that's not made up. I thought it was over with. But well, Lord, you got me in the position of prayer on my knees. No. You can take heart if you're a servant of the Lord. I tell you that, I believe that's why so many believers today, they jump ship, they're swimming to other churches or say, I've got to go over here and hear this and hear that. The thing of the matter, if you're not serving the Lord, wouldn't you say that you're in trouble? Yes. Well, I know that you love God, and I know that he loves you, and I know that you have his presence, and I know that you belong to him, but the fact is, are we serving him? Paul said, whom I serve. Whatever he tells me to do, I do it. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen. You see, there's so many believers today that they fall apart instead of taking heart because they're not doing what God wants them to do. See, they're just spectators. They just show up. They're not participators in what God wants them to do. Listen, the church today, and I say it in love, I'm not beating anybody. I like comfort as much as anyone else, but the church today just wants to be comfortable. They don't want to be in the battle. Come on, they don't want to fight the good fight of faith. They don't want to say, Lord, you send me anywhere in this world, whatever you want me to do. Well, if you're serving the Lord, you have to be in the battle. We're today in a battle for the word of God in our nation. Who knows what this election is going to bring? But I tell you what, I know I win because I believe the Bible. Amen? No, time is short. Jesus said this in John 12:26 about serving. He says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. Now, that's how you know if you're serving the Lord. Are you following the Lord? Lord, wherever you are, that's where I want to be. Jesus goes on and say, he says, and where I am, there my servant, the one who belongs to me, my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. See, when you are serving the Lord, would you say you're in the will of God? Was Paul in the will of God? Absolutely. You can go through a storm and be in the will of God, loved one. But you know what? If you're not serving the Lord, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It just means that you're missing out on what God has for you. It means you're not following him. You're not keeping up with him. That principle there for a storm is very, very important. Like I said, many in that area, they fall apart instead of taking heart. Now look at verse 24. saying, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. Indeed, God has granted to you all those who sail with you." Again, Paul, in the midst of a storm, did you notice what he was doing? He didn't fall apart. He fell upon his knees. He was praying for everyone on board. He was interceding. He went to heaven. The power of prayer, amen? Oh, how important that is. Listen, what does James 4:2 teach us? It says, "You have not because you ask not." The power of prayer. James 5:16 tells us, he said, "Pray one for another that you might be healed, for the effective availeth much." Availeth much is very powerful. It does something. Like you hear me say, prayer is the work. And there, Paul, he was praying. And look what he says in verse 25. "Therefore, fall apart, men." No, he says, "Take heart." Why? "For I believe God. I believe God that it will be just as it was told me." Why can you take heart in anything you're facing in any storm? You know why? Let us be just like Paul. He was fully convinced of the faithfulness of God. The Bible says in Titus 1:2, "In hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie," which God cannot lie. God's word, God will never lie to you. See, he really is with you no matter what you're facing, no matter what kind of storm that you're going through in your life. Unbelief is more deadly than any storm that you'll ever face in your life. Unbelief is a thief. It'll steal from you. It'll make you look at only the circumstances. And you'll finally say, "Yeah, I'm losing it all. I failed so much, or this storm is just driving me crazy. It's taking everything." Listen, Paul was in the storm because of the unbelief of other people. It wasn't his unbelief. It was the unbelief of everybody else. They didn't believe. No, we can make it. It was just 40 miles to Phoenix. Let's set sail. Paul said, "No, we're not going to make it." Listen, Paul was sustained by God's promises. And you can be sustained the same way that we look unto the Lord. Did you notice that Paul didn't say, "I believe in God"? He says, "I believe God." There's a big difference. I believe in Jesus, or I believe Jesus. Are you following me? Very, very important. Paul didn't believe in the expert advice. Man, he didn't believe in the majority opinion. He believed in God, in God's word, in God's promises. Remember when the father came to Jesus, "Oh, my son is just, here he is being tossed into the fire, tossed into the water, he's burned severely, he's demon-possessed." What did Jesus tell us in Mark 9:23? He looked at the father and he said, "Listen, if you can believe, if you can open up your heart as you're looking into my eyes, and if you can read these lips as I'm speaking to you, if you can believe," listen to these words, Jesus said, "all things are possible to those who believe." Do you really believe that? Can you quote that and just say, "You know what, I'm standing on that. I believe you, Lord. I believe with all of my heart the promises in the word of God." Whenever the angel appeared to Mary, remember what Gabriel said in Luke 1:37? He says, for with God, nothing, absolutely nothing will be impossible. I pray in Jesus' name, that is a today word for you right now. Our Ebenezer, our stone of help, the manifested help of God will be seen and manifested for us. Amen? He's always here helping us. There's nothing too difficult for God. You're either going to fall apart in a storm or you're going to take heart. Now, question. Whenever the angel of God came and gave that message from heaven, from the throne to the Apostle Paul, were the circumstances the same? Yes. In other words, the ship still going to and fro? Yes. The darkness, was it still there? The stars, they didn't see. In other words, nothing had changed. Everyone on board was still helpless. They were still hopeless. If you're in a storm, loved one, listen. Don't submit to it. Don't submit to the storm. Submit to the one who can steal the storm. Amen? The Bible says in Psalm 107:29, "He," meaning God, "calms the storm so that its waves are still." You know, maybe here you are this morning and, you know, no one knows it, but you feel like Paul or like the people there. You feel like you're on a death ship. Man, there's no escape and so forth. And you may be like the people on board. They were doing everything they knew how to save their lives, everything they could keep from sinking. You may be like them as well, trying to, when they were strapping up the ship and so forth, to hold all of it together. If I can just keep everything together for another week or another month or whatever, it'll be all right. No. You know what they did? They finally stopped trying to save themselves. They finally let go and they let God be God. Amen? Let God be God in your storm. You can take heart. You don't need to be discouraged. You don't need to be defeated. Alexander McLaren said this, "We are all immortal till our work is done, until God has done his work in us and on us and by us." Maybe you're shipwrecked this morning. I pray that you're not. Maybe your life has been like one constant storm. Maybe your faith has been shipwrecked. And you say, "I don't know, Bill, I've seen so much damage, I can't believe any longer. The debris from my marriage, the debris from my finances, the debris from this sickness, or the washing up the shore. Or I feel like a castaway. I'm all by myself, and there's not anyone with me to help me." I tell you, God would say to you this morning, don't fall apart. God says, you take heart. Be courageous. I'm right there with you. You know, the thing that we always need to remember is there's no escape from the storm. Meaning, we try to run over here, we try to run over there, or maybe we'll try different things and say, this will help me, that'll help me to get through the night or whatever. You know, maybe you put on country and western music late at night. It's a joke, okay? God help you if you do that. I'm not going to sing, don't worry. No. Peace is always a person in the storm. Ephesians 2:11, he himself is our peace. He's our peace. Lord, everything's falling apart. Oh, Bill, don't worry. The Bible says all things are yours. Oh, thanks, Lord. I see everything kind of drifting away, washing down with the floodwaters and the ship. Here I am floating out here on this inner tube, Lord. Oh, don't worry about it, Bill. You're a co-heir with Christ. Don't worry about it. Heaven is your home. Don't worry about those things. Whatever you've lost, you know what? Go read the book of Job, Bill. I'll restore seven times. Don't worry about it. See, God, nothing's impossible with God. We need to get our eyes off methods and expert advice and ideal conditions and majority rulings in the world that we live in. And we need to have the mind of Christ, amen? We need to be able to say, you know what? There's my circumstance. There's the storm. And I'm never walking on water. I'm going to start walking right now because thou art with me. Whether I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, it doesn't matter. I know this, that goodness and mercy, they're going to follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Why? I belong to him. I belong to him. I believe your word. Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, "To these things I've spoken unto you, that in me, Jesus said, you're going to have peace." And then he gave him a promise. He said, "Now in the world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have storms. You're going to have problems." And then he said, "Be of good cheer." That means take heart. Take heart. I've overcome the world. Amen. Listen, that's who we are in. If you don't have, loved one, listen, if you don't have that firm foundation under you, and so many Christians today, they don't have that firm foundation under you. You know why I teach line by line and verse by verse? Because that's how you build the foundation under every believer. I don't jump over here on my pet doctrine or this and that, and we're always on one subject or what. No, no, I want you to have the whole counsel of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, amen, against the storms that come into this life. Jesus told us in Matthew 7:24, he says this, whoever you are, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a what? Wise man. I want to be a wise man. What did he do? He built his house. He built his life. He built his marriage. He built his stewardship on the rock. And the storms came. And the floods came. And the winds came. But that house didn't fall because it was founded on the rock. It was founded on these sayings of mine. It was founded upon the word of God. He says, but whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him unto a foolish man, a foolish woman who built his house upon the sand, and the winds came and the waves came and beat that house to pieces, and great was its fall. Listen, you don't have to fall apart in anything you're facing. Yeah, but Bill, that doctor's report was bad. They've given me 5 months. No, listen to me. God's calendar is his calendar, not the world. Do you understand? God can change it in a minute. And if not, listen to me. It means it's time to go home. Listen, when we go home, it's time. I believe with all my heart, when we go home, it means this. There's not one word for me. When I leave this earth, there's not one word left that I need to say. None. It's over. There's not one more task that I need to do. No. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Come on home, Bill. You've been down there long enough. Man, what a day that's going to be. But until that moment, we have to work because time is short. The work is great. We need to be servants of the Lord. We need to build our lives on the right foundation because floods do come, loved one. Storms do come. It says in Psalm 93:3, it says, the floods have lifted me up, O Lord. The floods have lifted me up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. And then God says in Isaiah 59:19, and when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. You believe that? I believe the word of God. I believe that whenever I truly have a need, God will provide that need. I believe that any storm that I'm facing and you're facing, we don't have to fall apart, loved one. No, not at all. We can take heart. Again, you have two choices as you leave this world or leave this building today. And the fact of the matter is, you're either going to fall apart in a storm, Christian, or you're going to take heart. And you're going to do what God says. I believe with all of my heart that we can have victory in every storm that we face. You say, how? Well, we just learned how. Number one, what was it? God is with you. God is for you. We have the presence of God. Number two, we belong to God. Amen? We're his purchased possession. Number three, The fact of the number three is that we serve the Lord. And number four is the best one, where Paul said, take heart, for I believe God. I believe that it will be just as he told me. Just as he told me. Storms are going to come. But there are going to be storms that are coming to our nation. To every believer, you can't let them shake you. You can't let them determine your lifestyle or determine the outcome. We look unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Amen. We are running a race all the way to the celestial city, and we win, and the world doesn't win. Every government will bow the knee. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. We are never going to be defeated unless we defeat ourselves. We're never going to fall apart unless we don't do what God tells us to do. And God loves us enough to say, listen, don't fall apart. You take heart. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the word of God, for chapter 27, so important, not skipping over it, being able to, Lord, find out exactly how to have victory in every storm that we face in this life. We're not going to be a discouraged people. We're going to be a determined people, walking in your divine determination. We're not going to be a defeated people because you've already given us the victory. We've already overcome the world. Lord, as we sojourn through this life, let every Christian who walks out of this door today, no matter what they're facing, let them say in their heart and believe in their heart that any storm I am facing, I will not be torn apart. I'll not fail. I'll not go under. I'll go through it because God is with me. And I belong to Him, and I serve Him, and I believe every promise. It'll all work out just like God said. So I'm going to keep my eye, oh Lord, on You. And if you're not a Christian in this audience this morning, Jesus Christ is not your Lord. You've never asked Christ to come into your heart. We're going to close with a song, and after the song is over, there'll be men here at the altar. And you know what? Come down. And just tell them, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want Him to be my Savior. And they'll show you how. They'll show you how to pray. They'll pray with you. Or maybe you're ill. You need someone to anoint you with oil. Pray the prayer of faith. They do that right down here. So, Father, we love You. We praise You. We give You honor and glory on this wonderful Sunday in June. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet.